And today we're going to look at God's grace and his love on display to us, to you and me, through the person of Jesus. So read with me, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. God, we ask that you would speak to us in a mighty way, that the gospel would be evident through the text this morning. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give a quick bird's eye view of how this passage is laid out. There's a lot of repetition going on, and initially, Paul seems to be repeating himself over and over and over and kind of ranting like he's a crazed madman. And in a sense, he is. He uses Romans 5, 12 through 21 to really focus on one major theme. And that theme is, are you under the reign of Adam or are you under the reign of Christ? And his argument is supported by three doctrines of imputation. First, Paul talks about Adam's sin imputed to mankind. And that term imputed is a term that Josh briefly mentioned a couple of weeks ago in talking about Abraham. Imputed means to credit or to charge to an account of, is often a judicial term bringing reward or punishment alongside it. Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. God credited righteousness unto Abraham. God put his own righteousness unto Abraham so that Abraham would be made righteous by faith. Abraham was ungodly, but God made him righteous. He credited to him. He imputed his righteousness unto Abraham. Then in the first half of chapter 5, Paul wrote about how Christ died for the ungodly, the sinner, the enemy, you, me, us. Christ died for us in the first half of chapter 5 to justify us and reconcile us back to himself. Then Paul continues in verse 12 by saying the word therefore. Quick Bible study tool: whenever you see the word therefore, you always ask, what is it? Therefore. Always ask, what is it therefore? It's there because the question from the first half of chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, becomes, how can one man from one death reconcile so many people and remove so many sins? And verses 12 through 21 answers that question. Paul intricately portrays the gospel in all its beauty. But part of the gospel is the harsh reality that Paul talks about in verses 12 through 13. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not counted where there is no law. Paul is concerned with the reality of sin and speaks to the sin of one man, Adam. This is important because Adam stood as mankind's representation in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve and looked and saw that his creation was very good. And just as Andrea read, God looked at Adam and Eve and gave them one command, an oral law. Romans verse 13 says, sin is not counted where there is no law, but Adam's sin was counted because God gave Adam and Eve an oral law, an oral instruction. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know what happens next. Satan came and deceived them, and they took and they ate. They sinned. And immediately, the exact moment that they sinned, they realized they were naked. They were guilty and ashamed. And at the exact moment that they sinned, that the exact moment that they disobeyed God, sin and death entered into the world. Not only were they guilty of sin, but all of their offspring would be guilty as well. Sin and death go hand in hand, and death couldn't be contained. Sin and death were a cancer that spread through the entire human race. It's made us totally depraved and corrupt. Remember Romans 3, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Paul said that the death spread to all men because all have sinned. Adam, as mankind's representative, sinned, and as a consequence, all of mankind is born into sin. Tomorrow is the college football playoffs. I've faithfully watched Alabama football this year, as I have the past 35 years, minus one night where I temporarily became an Auburn fan and then quickly repented. And one thing that we're really good at this year is committing false starts. That's not a good thing. Okay? We're really good at committing false starts. And the same idea holds. The whole team is penalized because of one man's mistake. Adam penalized all of mankind with sin and death when he stood as our representative and failed. If Adam hadn't disobeyed God, he'd still be alive today. His sin and the consequence of his sin was imputed or credited or charged to all of mankind. But then Paul changes his train of thought and goes a different direction in verse 14. He wrote in verse 14, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. Adam was a type of the one to come. Adam was a type of Christ. Paul began to compare Adam to Jesus. How could this be? Adam sinned and disobeyed. Adam brought death and sin. Jesus was perfect and holy and righteous and without sin. How do they compare? Because they were both representatives to all of mankind. Adam imputed sin and death to us. Our sin believers' sin was imputed to Christ at Calvary, and simultaneously, Christ's righteousness was imputed unto believers. I talked about how Paul seemed to ramble like a madman. And after verse 13, he changes directions in his argument. And then in verse 15 through 17, he further reinforces verse 14. It's almost like a parenthesis within a parenthesis. In verses 15 through 17, he uses three contrasts between Adam and Jesus that prove that although they parallel one another, they're not remotely similar to each other. They're not remotely on the same level. Paul says about Adam, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Immediately we see what Paul says about Adam. There's a trespass. There's a sin. And the consequences of Adam's trespass is death. I told you, sin and death go hand in hand. They're intertwined. They're inseparable. Where you have sin, there you have death. Adam, and through Adam, mankind was no longer in right standing before God. And I think we hear that word trespass, and we don't fully understand what it means. The word itself simply means to stumble and fall off a path. But the consequence of Adam's trespass is heavy. Verse 16, Paul describes the consequences of Adam's sin. "The free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation." Adam's sin and the rapid, cancerous spread of sin to all human race brings guilt and judgment for our sin. Look ahead at Romans 6, and we see the wages of sin is death. The judgment for your sin and my sin and Adam's sin is death. And there's no way around it. Adam trespassed and consequently stepped headlong into spiritual death, as if he were the engine of a freight train and went completely off the tracks, taking the rest of the train, you and me, with him. Many died because of one man's trespass. The result is that we are born spiritually dead. We come into this world spiritually dead. And immediately, we're behind the eight ball headed toward eternal punishment. We are in desperate need to be saved from the direction that this train is headed. Further in verse 17, based on the trespass against a holy God and the judgment of that sin being death, Paul says that death still reigns today over this world. Death reigns over the world and brings more sin. Death reigns over this world and brings more sadness. Death reigns over this world and brings more sickness. Death reigns and brings more suffering. Death reigns and brings more physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. Adam had the whole world at his disposal, except for one measly tree. And he took it and ate, having knowledge of good and evil. Adam immediately knew evil, and the knowledge of evil was passed down to us. We were never meant to know evil. We weren't. We were meant to know good. Abiding with God, fellowshipping with God, relying on God, those things are good. But with sin comes death. And it's easy for us to say, "Well, I wouldn't have eaten from the tree. This is all Adam's fault," and point our fingers. You're wrong. You would have. I would have. We all would have. Adam is guilty of our passive sin, which is the sin disease passed down to us, but we are guilty of our active sin, the way that we actively continue sinning on our own. And it's easy for us to point fingers. Adam blamed Eve. Adam blamed God. He said, God, if you wouldn't have given me this woman, this wouldn't have happened. Well, surprise, Adam. It's your fault. Eve blamed the serpent, said, he told me to eat, so I did. We blame Adam. We all point fingers and we look like silly comic book characters, all doing the same thing, judging each other for the exact same guilt. But Paul contrasts Adam to Jesus and points his finger at Christ and says, look at what God has done for you. In verse 15, where Adam brought sin and death, Christ brought grace and righteousness. God looks at us dead in our sin and in his grace offered his life as an atonement for our sin. Offered us forgiveness from our sin. In Jesus' 3 hours on the cross, something miraculous took place. Where Adam's sin imputed death unto us, Jesus' grace and perfect obedience offered us a free gift of forgiveness. For those who are in Christ, your sin was imputed unto Christ at Calvary and nailed to the tree. In verse 16, where Adam's trespass brought condemnation and judgment, Christ's free gift of forgiveness brought justification. Our sin was imputed onto Christ at Calvary, and Christ's righteousness was imputed to those in Christ. And those in Christ are no longer found guilty before God, but we're in right standing with God. We no longer look at our sin and cover ourselves in guilt and shame, but we are confident in what Christ has done on our behalf. And in verse 17, while through Adam's trespass, death reigns on this earth, through Christ's abundance of grace, the free gift of righteousness reigns in the lives of those who are in Christ. Jesus came and he was born of a virgin. We just celebrated that. And that's important because if he was born by men, he would have been born into sin. But because he was born of a virgin, he's got a clean record. He's fully God and fully man. And in his passive obedience, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. In his active obedience, he perfectly obeyed up to the point of death on a cross. The just for the unjust. He is the just and the justifier, as Josh talked about in Romans 3. And Jesus' work on the cross did much more than just make us in right standing with God. On that cross, a cosmic war took place. One theologian said, the cross is the place where the decisive battle between Christ and sin took place, where the powers of Satan brought all their strength to the attack, and where they left defeated. It is the place where the wages of sin were accepted on behalf of the whole human race. In God's grace, he offered us the free gift of spiritual victory in Christ. Not only are we considered forgiven, but we gain much more, according to verse 17. Jesus has shown us an abundance of grace, guys. He's offered himself as our propitiation, as our reconciliation, as our redemption, as our justification. He's made us a new creation. We are sanctified in Christ. We have union with Christ. We're adopted in Christ. And one day when Christ calls his people home as his righteousness reigns in us, we're not just all those things, but we're also glorified with Christ and we reign with Christ forever. We've been given glorified, we'll be given glorified bodies, and the presence of sin and death will be completely eradicated because of what Christ has done for us. Though we lose in Adam, in Jesus we gain much more according to the abundance of his grace. Paul closes the chapter in summarizing everything, and he answered that question, how can one man from one death reconcile that many people and remove that many sins? And it's because Adam and Christ both represent all of mankind. Adam disobeyed, bringing sin and death to all people. Jesus, the God-man, full of abounding grace, passively and actively obeyed God, offering life and righteousness to all who trust that his atoning death was sufficient to cover sin. Are you under the reign of Adam this morning? Or is your life found under the reign of Christ? Ultimately, for those in Christ, we set our hope on his promised return. Sin and death are swallowed up in victory on the cross. We long for the day when Jesus returns and the promise of sin and death being eradicated comes to fruition. John gives us a glimpse of that in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you, through your free gift to us, have taken away sin and death through your death and taking our sin on you. But God, instead, you have offered us righteousness. You've made us a new creation. You give us hope in your promised return and the promise that you will be our God and we will be your people and you will dwell among your people. And we'll be called sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. God, we thank you that you are greater than sin and death. You're more powerful than sin and death. You offer life and forgiveness for those who trust in the atoning death of Jesus on the cross. So God, we praise you for that. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.